12 hours on one of them, and one of them fell out a window. We know that. We know that story. That's why we don't allow anyone sitting in windows when we're preaching. Okay, before we get into the word of the Lord, we're going to pray one more time here in just a second. But before we pray, I want to mention a couple of things. Sister Luma, is she in the house? Sister Luma in the house? Right there. Would you stand, Sister Luma? Now, Sister Danielle Robb has already exited the building with our young people going to their service. They've been organizing this already. However, they could certainly use a little bit more help. And there are two car washes that are going to be taking place this Saturday, this coming Saturday, at two different locations. Now, these car washes are to raise the monies for the two more vans, the two new vans, two more vans that we need to continue and further the ministry here at the church. So this is for a really great cause. This is going to begin at 8 o'clock. And if you've been wondering Monday and Tuesday what you were going to do Saturday, I've come with that divine revelation for you. The Lord is speaking. And those two locations are going to be at Military and Lake Worth, and that's at Miami Subs. The other location is 441 in Okeechobee. There's a brand new McDonald's they built there. So you can kind of take your choice. You can go to the unhealthy McDonald's and eat a Big Mac there and be happy, or you can go to the healthy Miami Subs and eat healthy and be sad. But you'll be better in your body. It's just your emotions that won't, taste buds that won't be as happy. So Military in Lake Worth. And 441 Okeechobee, 8 o'clock, right? 8 a.m. And please, guys, don't make Sister Luma scrub hubcaps. Let's see if we can't get a couple fellas out there to help them wash these cars at one of these locations. Will you help us? Amen. Thank you. One more thing. We're going to send out another phone tree. By the way, if you did not get a phone tree today and you consider yourself a member of the Pentecostals of the Palm Beach, as a member of this church, or you are wanting to be a member, please see myself or one of the ministries. Give us your number so we can put you in the phone tree. And when we have very important messages, it would be impossible for the staff to sit down and call 500 families. Just impossible to do that. But the phone tree does it for us really good. And so when you answer the phone and it goes, ting, hello, don't hang up. That's an important message from the Lord. It's just being delivered through the secretary. And if you didn't get that message today, please give us your phone number. But I want to reiterate, this is very important. Try to remember to bring some canned goods, diapers, wash rags, anything that you can think of. If your house disappeared tomorrow, and everything that you own was gone, what would you need? That's what you have to think. So there are those with babies, they're going to need diapers. There, water, of course, is something that we can do. And then canned goods and foods and different things. And we want to bring this up there. I don't know if y'all have seen any pictures of this, but it's devastating. They're estimating over $3 billion in damage. Some associations, just right through the association, the homes are just gone. And we want to reach out and be a part. We want to help. I believe that this is what the Lord would want us to do. Amen? To do our best. Praise the Lord. So if you're on your way to church Sunday and you realize you forgot something, or you forgot to bring something, I want you to turn your car around and I want you to go find a Publix or go find something and get something and bring something. I hope we're planning on bringing a pickup truck. I wish we'd have to bring four pickup trucks. We have so much stuff. Wouldn't that be awesome? Amen. And I promise you, we're not going to deliver too much. Some of these people are talking months and months and months before their life returns back to normal. Okay, before I read our scripture, I want us to stand one more time. I want us to pray for Sister Byfield, and she's not with us tonight. The Lord knows she certainly would be if she could be. But she is in physical pain. She's one of the founding members of the church, a pillar here at the Pentecostals of the Palm Beaches, a prayer warrior. And she is probably touched in some way everybody that's standing in this building, unless maybe you're just started coming and you're not even really sure who I'm speaking of. But if you've been coming for 6 months or more, then you know who Sister Byfield is. And I guarantee you she's called your name out in prayer and lifted you up in prayer. I want to pray for her and ask the Lord to touch her body. Sister Jewett, would you come and stand in her place? And then we'll get a couple of ladies to gather around her. And we're just going to let her stand in the place of Sister Byfield. The word of the Lord tells us to call for the elders of the church. That she's done. She can't be here. So we're just going to stand. I believe that the Lord Jesus is going to look down upon this right now as we pray, and he is going to send his power to comfort Sister Byfield and to touch her body. Would you, rest of us, just stretch our hand forward and towards these precious ladies. Brother Geraldo is going to lay hands. Father, in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you, God. Lord, she's one of our precious elders of the church. She's a pillar of the church, God, and a mighty prayer warrior, a mighty speaker of the word of God. And Lord, we love her. And Father, we just pray right now in the name of Jesus. We pray that you would reach out to where Sister Byfield is. And oh God, stretch your wings of healing. Stretch your wings of healing right now and go into that room, Father, where she is. And oh, let the Holy Ghost begin to descend upon her. God, we pray the prayer of faith right now. We loose the power, the healing power of God. We come against inflammation. We come against arthritis in the name of Jesus. We curse it out its roots. Lord, heal those shoulders. God, heal the joints of that body. Lord, we ask you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray it. We ask it, Lord. We thank you. We thank you for your mighty hand. We thank you for the healing of the Most High God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We give you praise. We give you praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. And let's turn to the book of Matthew chapter 17. I want us to also remember in prayer Brother Blake, Sister Pamela, Blake's husband. He is in JFK. We will be there to see him in the morning. Continue to remember Sister Ina Bailey. We'll be visiting her in the morning as well and just asking the Lord. And concerning Sister Ina Bailey, her daughter did give us some information from the doctor. They are releasing her to hospice. The doctor, he feels and believes that her body is shutting down. She's 94, I think, or 92, 93. She celebrated, was it her 90th? Her 92nd birthday? We had a big birthday party at our house. We had a lot of fun. And she is a character. I'm going to tell you that right now. Sister Ina Bailey is a character. And she lived for the Lord for many, many, many years. Another pillar of the church. Precious, precious woman. So if you know Sister Bailey and you have had experience with her, I encourage you to try to make it by either by JFK. Don't stay long, but just go by and see her. And if they transport her to the hospice, maybe you can go by there and see her as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 17 and verse number 14, the word of the Lord says, "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic, sore vexed, for often he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil. He departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. And as we know, the month of May has been power in fasting. And we had chose to fast Tuesdays and Thursday. As my wife so gleamingly let me know, this Thursday is the last day of this month that we are required to fast. We were at the office or coming home. I can't remember what it was. She's all excited. I said, what are you excited about? She said, this Thursday is the last day. However, I reminded her the church fasts every Thursday of every week of every month. Amen? But, of course, she's talking about the extra day, and that's Tuesday. So we are going to be finishing it up on tomorrow. And I'm not really sure how to handle this, to be honest, because I was kind of taken back. We announced prayer last Thursday, and there was no one there. So I know we haven't done that in a while. Probably most of my prayer warriors said, well, Sister so-and-so ago, but you all said that, so no one actually came. So pray at your homes Thursday. We're going to finalize the list, and we're going to form the groups, and we're going to start praying in our local areas. We're going to do that. So let me say this, though, above all. If we lose prayer, we lose everything. We may ride the roller coaster for a little while, but over time, it will all die. We will lose everything. So we can't lose prayer. And we already had our month in prayer. That was January. Maybe we need a second month of preaching and teaching on prayer to stir it back up, to understand how important prayer is in our lives. Because look at the words. This is the month of fasting, right? But what did Jesus say in 21? Howbeit this time, this kind goeth not out but by. So it's not just fasting. It's prayer and fasting. Prayer is sort of like the, what do they call those stones that sharpen something? What do they call that? You know, it's you sharpen a knife with it. Come on, Boy Scout. A flint stone. There's another word too, but that works. That works. There's a whetstone. Okay, I think whetstone is the backwoods name. Flint stone is the technical name. Is there? Handstone and grindstone's Boy Scout names. Okay, all right, so we know what we're talking about, right? So the Flintstone, that sounds like a cartoon. So the whetstone, I was raised on the Flintstones. So the whetstone is like, the whetstone is to a sword, if you please, as fasting is to prayer. So the whetstone puts the edge on the sword, so that it cuts better. keeps it sharp so that it always cuts at its potential. And that's what fasting does to prayer. But what I'm trying to express is the sword is the prayer. So if you don't have the prayer, I'm not sure what you're sharpening. I'm not sure what it's going to impact or what it's going to improve, except maybe a few pounds off your physical body. So if you're wanting fasting to truly do something, and you can be seated, I'm so sorry. If you want fasting to truly do something in your life, then you're going to have prayer first. And fasting is sort of like the whetstone that puts the edge on prayer. Okay? Amen? So we studied about fasting a little bit last Wednesday. And we learned some very significant things. And we're going to try to go a little deeper into fasting. One of the things that we talked about is how that Jesus gave special attention to fasting. Because when the disciples could not cast out the demon from the child, and they came, brought him to the Lord, and the Lord cast him out, and they made their way unto the Lord, and they said, why could we not have done this? Jesus Christ deals for a moment on their faith. However, when he got done dealing with their faith, he wanted them to understand something, that there was a level, a dimension, a height, an authority, a power, which goes beyond our everyday walk with God. There is a level of demonic spirits that you can step into, that your 2 chapters a day and your 5 minutes of prayer and your little and I'm not minimizing that. That's what keeps us going. I understand that. That's our daily food. It's our daily walk with God. But there is a level in the spirit world that will not take care of. And that is the reason why we see many times people just kind of carry alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything seems to be fine. And then one day you find out that they were 100% completely knocked out of their saddle. For whatever reason, whether they were in the wrong place at the wrong time spiritually, or whether they attempted to take on something that they didn't realize the power that was involved. You know, sometimes you can pray against things that have come against people and you don't realize the power of the demon that may be involved. And you will pray against that demon and if I can say it this way, make him mad. And he'll turn and he'll look at you and you got yourself a battle going on. And that's what happened when they took on the name of Jesus, but they didn't really have the power, and they try to cast out these demons, and the word of the Lord says that these demons attacked the 7 sons of Simon and literally stripped them down. The disciples came up against a power, a hierarchy, a strength. You see, the father said to Jesus, he said, my son is a lunatic. He's crazy. No, he's not. He's not crazy. He's not a lunatic. He's possessed. But he's not possessed by a status quo demon. And I hate to categorize them. I hate them all. But the Bible does talk about princes of the air. It does talk about powers and authorities in the demonic rule. And so we know, according to Scripture, that there are levels in demonic power. They're not all equal. There are levels in demonic power. And so along comes this child. We don't know why or how it happened, whether it was a generation curse or whether he gave himself over to the devil, or we're not sure what happened, but we do know that a very powerful demon got in this child.
and he was tormenting this child. And here the disciples, as we talked about last Wednesday, the disciples have been going out, and they cast out this demon, and they cast out that demon, and they caused the blind to see and the deaf to hear, and all of the great miracles. They came back to Jesus. They were excited. They said, even the devils are subjected to your name. They bow before us when we speak the name of Jesus Christ. But yet, this son is brought. All 12 disciples are there, and they could not cast him out. And so Jesus brought forth revelation to his disciples. Now, you've got to understand, up to this point, the disciples had not experienced fasting. Say, how do you know that? Because the disciples of John came and they questioned Jesus and they said, why do your disciples not fast? Like John's disciples fast. And Jesus, well, because the bridegroom's with them. As long as I'm here, they don't have that need to fast. And Jesus proved that. They brought the lunatic to him. He cast it out. He said, however, the day's going to come when I'm going to go away, and it will need be that they fast. And so Jesus is letting his disciples in on a little secret here. I'm going to leave you soon, and I'm here to tell you that not only are you going to have to pray, but if you're going to take on these devils, you're going to have to learn how to fast. You're going to have to crucify your flesh. And as I said last week, I'm here to tell you as pastor, I guarantee you that we have the demons in this city that watch this church, that if we're going to continue to have revival, we must be a church that prays and fasts. We will not be able to defeat them. And let me tell you the trickery of the devil. You think you got it made. They'll back off. I mean, they will completely back off. They'll let revival come in. They'll let everybody feel like everything's going great and the church is doing incredible. You'll back off on praying. You'll back off on fasting. And just when you think everything is going great, they'll come in like a storm and the power won't be there. There'll be too much carnality, too much of the flesh. We've got to keep this flesh under subjection, that no matter what attack comes, we're able to take it on in the Holy Ghost and the power. Oh, let's everybody clap our hands to the Lord. Somebody shout, pastor, we need a fast.
We learned in our little bit of teaching last Wednesday that fasting cripples the flesh. Paul the Apostle crucified his flesh every day. And when you read about him, you find that the Bible says he fasted often. It was often. We touched a little bit, even on Sunday, on the younger will rule the older. And we went through a little bit there of the revelation of the design that the newborn would rule the firstborn, or the secondborn would rule the firstborn. Well, the secondborn can't rule the firstborn if the firstborn is the one given all of the strength and all of the power, and it's the one being fed. And the second born is being starved. Jesus said to be born again of the Spirit. So if we're starving this new birth experience, it's not going to have power over the flesh. And I'm talking to some saints of God that have lived for God long enough. You know, you stop praying, you stop fasting, you stop reading the Word of God, the old flesh comes up. Can I get a witness? Is the pastor the only one still in flesh? Is there anybody else out here who got a little flesh on their bone? The old man will rise up.
and become very, very, very strong. So we looked into here and we talked about the power of fasting. I want to look at Acts chapter 10 and verse 25. I want to express to us that fasting is way beyond just starving the flesh. Fasting does things in the spirit realm that you and I cannot comprehend or behold. It is designed to take on the big boys. It's designed to build up your artillery in the spirit world that when the main enemy shows up, you're ready. You have your artillery. Because let me tell you, when the big boy shows up, there is no time to pray. I wish somebody get a hold of what pastor's talking. I know I'm not all fired up, but it don't mean it's not good stuff. When the big boy shows up, there's no time to fast. You better already have your artillery in place. You got to have your prayer in place. You got to have your fasting in place so that when the enemy shows up, I'm talking about the guy that's come to take you down, you've already got everything ready to go to fight that battle. You can't say, wait a minute, devil, let me go fast for a few days. I'll fight you then. No, I'm sorry. It's too late. You got to have that in place already. Oh, come on, apostolics. Let's not lose this. We're too close to great revival to give up now. We're too close to taking down and binding the prince of the air of this city in such a way like it's never been done. We're too close to that to give up now. You say, but pastor, you've been pushing too hard. I haven't been pushing hard enough. Just when you think you got it all done, that's when you need to put the shoulder to the wheel all over again. God's getting ready to take us to a new level. But before we can get up to that higher level where we will fight stronger and bigger, more powerful, more smart, devils, we've got to have fasting under our belt. We got to have prayer in our spirit that when we get there, we're ready to battle. Oh, somebody get with the preacher tonight. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Fasting does things that you and I never imagined. You just our little Tuesday and Thursday, tiny little sacrifices, praying and fasting. We had a little revival 2 weeks, 27 people filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, and 30 baptized in Jesus' name. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. I'm going to tell you one spirit we broke through the power of fasting and prayer. And that's the spirit of that old ugly carnal spirit of special holiday services. Isn't it the truth? You would think the greatest move of God would be on Christmas and Easter and Father's Day and Mother's Day. And they're the hardest moves of God. I mean, they're tough. Probably because we have so many guests, we're dealing with a lot of... Nah, it's not the sinners. I never had a problem with sinners. We proved that on Mother's Day. We baptized 30 of them. It's the saints. We get all caught up in that carnal thing. And we just, oh, it's Easter. Let's go watch the drama. It's Christmas. Let's go listen to the singspiration or whatever they call those things. And we let our guards down. But I'm going to tell you what fasting and prayer did. Fasting and prayer this month got up in that spirit realm and broke the back of that spirit. And on Mother's Day, we baptized 28 people. Oh, hallelujah! I'm trying to tell you, There's power in fasting and prayer. And if we'll keep doing it, we'll see greater moves of God. And we'll get up there, and you might think me crazy, but it's the truth anyway. We'll get up there, and we're going to start taking on them arthritis demons and those cancer demons and those demons of blindness and death. I don't mean everybody that has it is tormented by a demon, but those sicknesses carry demons. And I'm here to tell you tonight that prayer and fasting will break their power. And what will happen is we'll be having just an ordinary service like this tonight, and somebody will come in crippled, and they'll just get up out of the wheelchair and start walking, and you'll say, oh my, how did that happen? It wasn't a very great service tonight. There wasn't a great move of God. No, because it wasn't that service that did it. It was the fasting and prayer for months and years that built up, that when that demon came through the doors, his back was broken through the power of fasting and prayer. And alcoholic demons have to flee, and drug demons have to flee. Demons of immorality have to flee. Woo! Shababa hasando boko tota kalabahaya. Jesus was trying to bring this to attention when he said, these things only come about by prayer and fasting. You're only going to conquer these things when you learn how to pray and fast and discipline yourself. Look at Acts chapter 10. We've read this so many times, we think it's just something to read. We go right by and say, oh my, 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 what a nice story. If you can begin to imagine the power that was brought forth through prayer and fasting of a man, and the spirit that it broke and destroyed. In Acts chapter 10, verse 25, and as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, fell down at his feet and worshiped him. Peter took him up and said, stand up. So I myself so also a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. Simon Peter, a Jew, has made his way to the home of a Gentile. Simon Peter is probably in his 30s. Maybe early 40s. He has just done something he has never done in all of his life. He just broke every tradition he's ever been taught all of his life. He broke through the chains of tradition. Do you not understand that one of the most powerful demons that we fight every service and getting people in the altar is the demon of tradition? People have been programmed and trained all of their life to believe a certain way, and they come to the house of God and they feel something for the first time in all of their life. They're not sure what to do with it, and sad to say, most of them grip the back of the seat and never move because there's a demon of tradition that's got them so bound up. I want to be a member of a church that has learned how to fast and pray to the point we can break the back of that demon, that when people come to the house of God and they're bound by religious tradition, they won't care about it. All they know is what they feel and what they want and what they need. And when that demon tries to hold them little while, but then, oh, the power of fasting, the power of prayer will break in. They'll throw that thing aside, make their way down the aisle, and give their life to Jesus Christ. Oh, let's clap our hands to the Lord. But I'm here to tell you, Evelyn, because you broke that tradition. I'm here to tell you that fancy choirs don't get it done. Good music don't make it happen. Talent don't cause it to come to pass. Only thing that's going to get that done is prayer and fasting. Peter took him up and said, stand up, I'm a man. He went in where many others were gathered, verse 28. And he said unto them, you know how that it was an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come under one of another nation. He said, but God showed me, and I want to tell you, that's the answer. Because men can get in this pulpit and they can preach the most eloquent sermons, but it will not break the power of tradition. But if we can pray and fast God into this place, God will show them. And he said, God showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying. As soon as I was sent forth, I asked therefore, for what intent have you sent me? That is powerful words. The man with the keys of the kingdom, the man that walked with Jesus Christ, the man Peter, who was so bound in tradition, it took three visions from God. Come on, Todd. I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm thinking too highly of you, but I just got a feeling you would probably move on the first one. I ain't never seen an angel, much somebody bringing me a dinner. All spread out. Not so, Lord! Not gonna happen. I'm not doing it. Goes back to prayer. Vision number two. No! I've been a Jew for 40 years. I ain't never touched a pig. I've never ate shellfish. There's no way you're gonna. I'm not gonna do it. This is a test. I know it is. I'm not gonna do it. Third time, vision comes. Peter gets the revelation, but this is what's powerful. He said to Cornelius and his family, why have you sent for me? That's powerful. You know what Peter was saying? Your prayers and your fasting moved heaven, and heaven came to me. But he gave the credit to Cornelius. Cornelius and his family because Peter had a revelation. If it wasn't for prayer and fasting, this would have never happened. It had never taken place. The tradition was too strong. It was too powerful. Look what Cornelius said. Peter said, "Why'd you send for me?" Look what Cornelius said in verse 30. And Cornelius said, "4 days ago, I was until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed prayer and fasting. I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. And Cornelius, thy prayer has been heard." You want to get your prayer heard? Start giving a little fasting with it. I can't seem to get heaven to hear. Why don't you begin to fast and apply that fasting to that prayer and watch God move mountains. Watch God break tradition. Watch God break chains. Watch God bust out and cast out and heal and rise up from prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. Clap your hands to the Lord and give God praise. Prayer and fasting will break the chains of tradition. And as a church, if we will continue praying and fasting, God will send them because he will know that in this place is the power to break that demon of tradition that has put in captivity the mind and spirit of that man and woman. And God will break it. God will speak, and it comes through prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting will help us win our battles, and I'm just going to run through these. I'll try to finish here in just a few more minutes. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 1. "It came to pass after this also, the children of Moab, the children of Ammon, and with the others besides the Amorites, Anamites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. And then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on the side of Syria, and behold, they be in Hazarmathar, which is in Jindia." It's as good as you could do. Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. And what did he do? He proclaimed fast. Jehoshaphat didn't say, "Get the horsemen lined up." He didn't say, "Get the whetstones or the flint stones out and sharpen the swords." My God, have mercy. He didn't say, "Make sure the spearheads are fastened securely upon the spears. Make sure you have plenty of the arrows in your quiver. Make sure your strings tight on your bow, and get your shields ready and shiny. Put everything in place. We're about ready to go to war." No, Jehoshaphat said, "This enemy's greater than anything I could ever mount up against. So what we need to do is get God to fight for us. And the only way we're going to do that is if we go to prayer and fasting." And he told his people, Jehoshaphat feared, self-seek the Lord, proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Judah gathered themselves together and asked help of the Lord, even out of the cities of Judah. They came to seek the Lord. Verse number 14. Then upon Jehazareel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeriel, the son of
Mathaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation, verse number 15, and he said, "Hearken ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou king of Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it is the Lord's." My God, have mercy. Woo! What fasting and prayer will do. First of all, it'll get God in our congregation. The scripture said God showed up. God came down and God began to speak. When we begin to fast and pray, it'll bring God in our midst. His voice will come forth. He will strengthen us and he will encourage us. Fear not. The battle's not yours. The battle is mine. And this is what I love. This is what I love. Look at verse number 25. "And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them abundance, both riches and the dead bodies, precious jewels, which were stripped off themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days gathering the spoil." It was so much. Oh, what fasting and prayer. If Jehoshaphat would have decided to take on that battle on his own, we would not be reading this story. It would have read something like this. Jehoshaphat got his horses lined up. Jehoshaphat got his spears in order, got his swords ready, got his army. Oh, what a mighty army they were. And they marched out to the valley against these Amorites, and Amorites came against them. But Jehoshaphat numbered 300, and the Amorites numbered 300,000, and they were no match for them. And there is no Jehoshaphat. That's how the story would end. But instead, he said, you know, let's just fast and pray. Tabernacle Pentecost, as I mentioned last Wednesday, we live in an area that we are foolish to think that we can have revival without God. And I'm not trying to belittle anything. I think God can move anywheres, anyway, anyhow he wants, etc. But don't kid yourself on these large churches out there that have no power and have crowds. Those people are as bound as the day they went in, as the day they come out. Nothing has changed in their life. All they've done is made a social living out of it. I'm not talking about having a crowd. I'm talking about having a church. I thank God I serve a God that every once in a while, and I wouldn't cut these. These are very expensive, but if they were cheap, I'd probably get a knife or get my Boy Scout knife from my Boy Scout leader, and I'd say, I thank God every once in a while God comes, and he just does a little pruning, and he cuts off here, and he cuts off there. It's just like a, oh, Lordy, have mercy. Who's the guy with all the people? Gideon. Gideon started with 32,000, ended up with 300, right? He's just like, oh, Gideon, we think we got ourselves a big old church, and God shows up and says, by the way, let me show you the real church. And he just starts cutting off and shaving off. And you go, oh, God, why? Yeah, I think I'll leave it. We were doing so good. We were bound out so good. Now they're all leaving. He said, I just want you to see what you really got to work with. Now that you know who your church is, why don't you start saving souls? Hallelujah! And the Lord has done that to several times to this church. And each time, thank God, the core is a little bigger. He shaves off, but it's a little bigger on the inside. Those that love God, give it all. There's power in fasting. I certainly don't have time to go through all of this, but I'm going to try to just read the scriptures. We're in Isaiah 58. We know that is the most famous chapter in the Word of God concerning fasting, because it talks about his fast, God's chosen fast, and how he, what it does and what he would have us do. Isaiah 58 and 6 tells us that when we fast, it gives us power over sin. And when we fast, we will produce a power in this congregation that when people walk in that are bound to different types of sin in their life, it won't matter what kind it is, the power of God will break it. Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6 says, is not this the fast that I have chosen? What's going to happen in your fast? What is it that you want to do in your fast, Lord? He said, I want to loose the bands of wickedness. I want to undo every heavy burden. He said, I want to let the oppressed go free. He said, I want to break every yoke. God said, that's what's going to happen when my church begins to fast. I'm going to break the power of sin in people's lives. So I'm here to tell you, when we fast, we may not see results that day. You may not see results that month. But somewhere's down the road, something's going to happen. And you're going to wonder where the victory came from. I'm going to tell you where it came from. You built up when you were fasting and praying. And you broke the bands of wickedness. And you undone the heavy burdens. And you let the oppressed go free. You might not have seen it right then. But when the time came, it came to fruition. And you broke every yoke. You want to know something else fasting will do? Look at verse number 7. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bring the poor that are cast out into thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? The next thing fasting is going to do for us is it's going to give us power over selfishness. And it's going to give you the ability to truly prefer your brother when you fast and pray. The reason why we're so full of carnality is we don't fast the way we should fast. Fasting ought to be a part of your life. You should never go a week that you don't choose a day that you don't fast, which is why Pastor sort of demands Thursdays, just trying to keep us on track here as much as possible. But every once in a while, everybody say prayer and fasting. Every once in a while, you ought to try to take a day off, put time aside, fast, and spend hours in prayer. You may see no results that day, but I'm telling you, you move mountains in heaven, that when the time comes, you're going to see miracles take place in your life, and you're not going to dream where it came from. Woo! Hallelujah! But when we fast, it breaks our selfishness. When we fast, it breaks the power of sin. Verse number 8, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Fasting gives us power over sickness, and fasting puts us in a position in our bodies to allow the glory of God to shine forth through us, and that his righteousness might be seen and not our righteousness. For the Bible says they shall see thy good works and glorify the Father. That's going to come through the power of fasting, because when you fast and pray, you don't take credit for the good things that are happening in your life. Real quick here, verse 9. When you fast, thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, putting forth the finger and speaking vanity. When you pray, when you fast, it brings God to answer your prayer. And we have all kinds of examples for that. Verse 10, if thou draw out the soul to hunger and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and the darkness be as the noonday. When you fast, God is going to give you power to have a breakthrough. If something's got you bound, go to fasting and prayer. God is going to give you power to have a breakthrough. You're going to break the shackles. You're going to shake off the things that got you bound. That tormenting devil in your mind, you'll be able to curse him and cast him off. That devil that keeps reminding you of your past, you're going to be able to cast him out and break through. Free of your chains and your bonds if you will fast and pray. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Let's stand to our feet. I'm coming to a close. Verse number 11. Power in your work with God. When we fast, the Lord, verse 11 says, the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watery garden and like the spring of water whose water shall fail not. When you fast, God takes you by the hand and he begins to lead you by the still waters. Even through the valley of death. When you've learned to fast and pray, you're calm and you have peace because you don't fear the storm. Verse 12, last verse. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places, and thou shalt rise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach and the restorer of the past to dwell. And you want to tell me that fasting went out with the disciples? Of course, I can understand why a lot of preachers preach that. Because if their people start fasting and God starts giving revelation, they're going to start asking the preacher why he's allowing all this junk to go on. Don't you know this is wrong and that's wrong and this isn't right? So we just better stay away from fasting. Fasting does funny things. I'll sum up that chapter 58. The Lord said, if we will remove perversion from our midst, if we will stop accusations, if we will cease evil speech, if we will offer our soul to the hungry, if we will satisfy the afflicted, then the Lord will cause our light to burst out like the dawn, healing to speed forth, righteousness to proceed out of us, and he will cause the glory of the Lord to gather you in. He will respond to your cry, guide your ways, satisfy your soul, and strengthen your bones. Then we will be like a water garden in the spring waters whose waters will never fail. We will rebuild the ancient ruins. We will restore the generations of old. We will be called the repairers of breach, and we will restore the past for the habitation of the presence of God to be in our midst if we will fast and pray. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! So our homework tomorrow during our fasting is to get the Word of God out and read chapter 58 of Isaiah a few times, maybe in the morning, maybe at noon, maybe at night, and read it out loud. I want the devil to hear it. He can't read your mind. Read it out loud. I want the words to come out of your mouth. So as a man thinketh, so is he, right? If it's in your mind, it's going to come out your mouth. And the Lord said, we have not because we ask not. What do you say? We just open our mouth and begin to speak the word of God. Speak this into existence while we are fasting and praying. Praise God. I feel such a special anointing in this place tonight. It's 825, 826. And so we're going to wrap this up in about an hour. So let's make our way down to the front. I'm just kidding. We're closing right now. Let's make our way down to the front. We're going to just pray a little bit together. We're going to come in close. I want you to come in close because we're going to put our hands on one another's shoulders. And we're going to link up. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And this is what we're going to do. Come in close. I want y'all.